Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Mike Sniffer Pippets.
Mike Sniffer Pippets? Who?
Mike Sniffer Pippets who? How many Mike Sniffer Pippets do you know? Come on, let me in. It's cold out here. Jeez.
TBTL.
Ladies and gentlemen, meatloaf cake with mashed sweet potato icing. With only 433 calories, 52 grams of protein, and only 5 carbohydrates.
This is not your mama's podcast. This is too beautiful to live.
Are you trying to seduce me?
I'm trying to seduce you.
You guys are so fun. Just relentlessly fun. I keep thinking, when are they going to stop being fun? And the answer is never.
Hey, look here. Why don't we eat us a few thousand beers and you tell me what's buzzing in the big bad city?
Well, hello. Good morning and welcome, everybody, to a Thursday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Okay, guys. Can we get to disc jockeying?
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Peace and love.
Coming to you from just outside Tenino, Washington, the Sandstone City.
Now that's interesting.
Where I have been safely, I must always stress that, safely working on a TV piece about the wooden currency that they've been printing up in Tenino, Washington. Tell you more about that coming up. Also, the coolest swimming pool I have ever seen in my life resides or is located in beautiful Tenino, Washington. So we may get into that too here on episode 3192 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
As we attempted to, well, that's actually not true. As I attempted to not get into on yesterday's episode of the show, there is a product that is selling out on Amazon.com. It is a portable urinal.
It was hilarious. We were both peeping at the same time. It's fun.
Yes, that is the audio drop I accidentally activated during yesterday's show. Thus, telegraphing that we would be talking about that story at some point. That time has come. It is today, my friends, and we will be talking about the portable urinal that America can't get enough of. And the women's version, which comes in pink, which is great. You know what else is great? And my sound machine turned off. I meant to give that a hearty... Anyway, we'll talk about the portable urinals. Also, 2.3 million pounds of high-quality, mostly Virginia peanuts are languishing in cold storage.
Anybody want a peanut?
Because baseball has been postponed, and that's where everyone's eating those fancy peanuts during the summertime is at the baseball stadium. So we'll tell you what the plan is for that. Plus, it's a Thursday, a.k.a. a Blursday. So we will we'll give some Blursday shouts, including, I get to do this because I am the co-host of the program, shout out to my actual dad, Walt B., Walter Burbank, who is turning, I don't actually know. But today is his birthday, so happy birthday, Dad. We're going to do all that with the help of this guy, the longest-running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, their splendor. He's baby-stepping. He's doing the work. He's back at it again with the white Vans. He might have tacos for dinner tonight. He's not quite sure yet. You want showmanship?
You want showmanship? You got it!
He's got it. He's Andrew Walsh, and he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Morning, Luke. Yeah, you know, you are the host of the show, and you do have certain prerogatives, and if you want to throw in an unannounced Blursday, that's fine. That's fine. But to do it outside of the Blursday segment at the top of the show without even a consultation with me, without even checking, without even saying, hey, heads up, there's going to be a fast and loose Blursday shooting down the line outside of the Blursday parameters. You know I would have gone along with it, just a little heads up, as the Blursdayer-in-chief. That's all I'm asking.
We work on a podcast with walls around the Blursday segment.
That's right.
Who's going to sit on those walls?
You! That's right.
You!
That's right. Now, I'm sorry. I know I'm coming in a little hot, but it all happened so fast. I love you, obviously. Mm-hmm. This is not a huge deal, but I just wanted...
You got
I
carried
needed
away,
to,
and
I needed to clear the air.
Let's not speak of it again.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew... You can't handle the blurs.
Oh, show title. Speaking
show
title, of,
maybe,
that is
possibly.
One thing.
I'm writing it down.
You write that down because there is something I want to talk about at the top of the show that is so nerdy and unimportant and Well, just unimportant, but it's driving me crazy.
All right.
So, you know how sometimes you accidentally get out of sync with the show? This is not, by the way, just a backhanded way of me listing.
I go rogue on one Blursday for my dear old father, and now it's just going to be, I'm just going to get dragged all over the public space that is this podcast.
Walter, what have you wrought? No, I know that you don't like it. Every now and then you find yourself out of sync with the show titles for some reason or another. You grab an old show sheet or whatever. It's a typo, and you find yourself reading the wrong show number. I'm sorry, I said title. I mean the wrong show number at the top of the show. It's not a big deal. Most people don't care. Gets in your head a little bit. Feel bad for you. But it always gets righted again, right? Every now and then, I'm going to say, again, like a cicada, once every 7 years or so, I might mess up the show title or the show number in the title on the website or in the podcast. And that's easily fixable. I can just go in to the, you know, the content management system and change the number and change the name, and nobody will know the difference. It's fine. Except for the first time ever yesterday, ever, I decided to create a little show art, a little specific TBTL show art that was related to the actual topic of the show. Of course, we had Julian, our young friend Julian, as you described him, and his former teacher, the real former Andrew Walsh, on the show to reunite them. And I had no idea how to illustrate the show yesterday, so I went onto Getty Images. I found a photo of a blackboard and a teacher's hand writing on the blackboard, but it was blank. I went somewhere else on the internet and I found a font that looks like chalkboard writing. I downloaded it. I installed it. I put all of this into my free version of Photoshop called GIMP. We don't have to get into that right now. And I crafted this chalkboard that specifically said the name of yesterday's show and the show number. I almost didn't even include the show number in the art, but I thought, oh, that'll be kind of cool looking. It'll be like, you know, number, what, 3191 it should have been, and underline it, and then the title of the show underneath it. So it looked like the teacher's hand was writing out the show number and title.
I'm looking at it right now. It's a lovely piece of original art that you created.
Wrong number. I get in the car and I look to see if the I had a dentist appointment yesterday, by the way. Everything's fine. But I get in the car and I'm like, oh, did that show post okay? I open up my podcatcher. I look. I'm like, oh, yeah, it posted well. Oh, wrong show number. Oh, damn it. The show number is also in the art for the show yesterday, and I cannot go back and change it. I mean, I could, but it would be a lot of hoops, and potentially it could endanger download, so I'm not going to mess around with it. But anyway.
Oh, seriously?
Well, there, last time I replaced show art on the actual, I can't get into the details. This art appears in different places depending on how you're consuming it. And if I change it on the actual MP3 file, I did that a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't my fault, but there something glitched out. And it's not worth me potentially triggering that glitch again just because of this small thing.
Listen, The tens should just regard this as the upside down airplane.
That's what I was hoping.
Of TBTL episodes, right? It's just, it's like a, it's a little slight mistake that it actually makes the whole post more interesting, more beautiful, and more varied.
And more valuable, maybe.
Absolutely. Collect this. Print this on a stamp and then turn the stamp upside down and then save it for 100 years.
And then mail me $100. And then it's going to be profitable for everybody.
Going out to all our philatelists out there in the world. I once again am battling some allergies. Apologies for that. And because I am not at the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, I don't have the easy ability to mute my microphone. So I have been power using Claritin and hoping that that settles everything down, at least for this show, because I'm, you know, I don't want to gross everybody out with my sniffling. I am down here in the Tenino, Washington area, Andrew, and I'd never been through this city before, but we talked about it a week or so ago on the show. The mayor of this town, a guy named Wayne, had the idea to kind of bring back something that Tenino was actually kind of famous for back in the Depression, which was printing its own money that was backed by locals and that would just stay in the local economy. And they started doing it again, and so I've been down in Tenino. I'll actually be interviewed the mayor yesterday and some folks in town, and then tomorrow we're doing more interviews. But the for me, the big takeaway is Tenino, Washington has the coolest swimming pool that I've ever seen in my life. And it is called the Quarry Pool. And it used to be – Tenino is known, I guess, informally as the Sandstone City because they had a huge sandstone quarry back in the, 1900s at some point. And they would, extract – the sandstone that was used in all kinds of cool and important buildings around the West. And so, as happens a lot, when they were done pulling the sandstone out, there was just a big hole in the ground and it started filling up with water. And at some point, somebody got the idea, let's actually build some diving boards, let's put some grass down around it, let's build a water feature that goes down the sort of rugged side of what was the sandstone quarry. Let's build a kiddie pool area. And let's charge $2 in the summer to come swim in this thing. And that's what they have. And it is so cool. I was like in love with the place. It's where we interviewed the mayor. And I never wanted to leave. It was so cool.
That's so much nicer than the quarry that I used to swim in. I've told you about this place, right? This kind of illegal quarry in Concord, New Hampshire that it was not, it was on private land somewhere, but everybody just knew where it was. And you'd have to like kind of traipse across, I think, some power company land to get there. And then there's this just deep.
Yeah.
The locals say it has no bottom. Actually, the locals claim that there are cars down there. Like, I don't know how a car would get down there. It sounds like urban legend to me. But just like unmaintained, you would, kick through the last night's buzzards, like Bud Light cans and cigarette butts to like kind of get to get to a place where you could jump into it. And then there were various places on the side of the wall where people would just climb up and jump in. Genevieve, of course, went off the high one at one point. I did not, but I did swim in it.
See, I'm actually surprised that you did that, considering it was on private property and you were technically probably breaking the law to do so. I'm proud of you that you got out there and did that. Were you worried about the, whoever owned it showing up and chasing you guys off?
It's the type of place that it's like, I'm looking this up now in some radio station, the quarries, Concord, New Hampshire's hidden summertime gem. This is the type of thing that it's just so very New Hampshire. I don't think I was nervous about getting caught because you show up and you see other groups of people there. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's the thing that's kind of unsaid. It's like so old school New Hampshire. Like everybody knows about it. Everybody who wants to do it will do it. Nobody's going to make any fuss about it until somebody gets hurt, which eventually will probably happen. But it was just like New Hampshire has good little – it's like a little secret swimming hole that people know about.
Well, not anymore, Andrew. The secret's out.
Yeah.
On episode 3193.
No, don't. Oh, now I got to go back. Larry, let's start over. I started making the art.
Well, that's the thing about this quarry, Mayor Wayne Fournier. And he and some other folks got on scuba gear and did an expedition down to the bottom of the quarry a couple of summers ago to see what was down there. I mean, to the bottom of the pool. It's 100 feet deep. By the way, keep an eye on little Johnny when he's swimming in the city pool. The pool that's 100 feet deep.
Right.
Like, that's, that feels to me like something that's okay when you get out of the big cities of America. But I don't think you're going to see them letting people swim in 100-foot deep pools in Seattle anytime soon. But they went down to the bottom, and there's all this old equipment that's still down there.
Oh,
from
okay,
when this
good.
Was a quarry operation. There's like these steam-powered like cutting machines and things that they were using to actually do the work of the quarry back in the day. And they never took that stuff out. They just left it in there. Now it's covered with water. And if you hold your breath long enough, I guess you could swim down there if you were a free diver and touch some old rusty quarry equipment in the bottom of the town pool.
Oh, I'm so glad that they have confirmation of that, because those are the types of stories that you would hear in Concord. And so to know that it truly is down there, I love it. That sounds great. This does sound like, no joke, this sounds like a much, much better experience. There's something kind of fun and illicit about the other thing, but it also is like, I don't know, how long before somebody steps on a needle in that quarry
right.
back in New Hampshire. So this sounds like the best of all worlds.
Yeah, it's great. Unfortunately, it's actually closed this summer, for public use because of the pandemic. He was explaining that, the only way that the place pays for itself, because they have to have a lot of lifeguards, because, it's 100 feet deep and frigid. Like, it's pretty much a recipe for someone getting a cramp. like, jump into this 100-foot deep, almost frozen water, and let's see how that goes. So they have a lot of lifeguards, and the only way that the economics of it work out is, you know, they have to have on Saturdays and Sundays, a lot of people show up and pay their whatever it is, $2. But because the state law right now still is you can't have gatherings of more than 50 people. It's just not – it doesn't make any kind of economic sense for the town. And as we've already established, the town is working through some stuff because, you know, it's a small town. Although I will say this. We must have a listener or two in Tenino. But it's an interesting place to me because it has a main street that seems to be highly functional. And what I mean is one of those like old school – small town America main streets that now in many cities, small cities, small towns are just kind of a lot of empty storefronts because just the local economy cannot support those businesses. There's only one. I only saw one chain, like national chain anything, and they have a Subway.
I was going to guess that. I almost interrupted you to say Subway. Subway seems like the I don't know if it's fair to say the camel's nose under the tent, but it's like, well, it's a sandwich shop, you know, like I feel like people will kind of allow that more.
Well, that was the other thing, too, was, OK, you know, obviously I lived in Port Townsend and Port Townsend is a wonderful, beautiful place. We still have many listeners there. But people in Port Townsend, I think, and Port Townsend, by the way, does have a McDonald's, but it's out at the edge of town. And I think a lot of people kind of look askance at it like. You know, you get into sort of the more core section of Port Townsend, and it's pretty much all small local stuff. And I think that people in Port Townsend take a lot of pride in that, as they should. And so when I was talking to Mayor Wayne, and I was like, this is interesting. There's no Starbucks here. There's no McDonald's. There's nothing huge. And I go, is that because the town would never stand for a national chain? And he looked at me like I had two heads. He was like, no, I just don't think they've put any in.
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be the difference between Tenino, Washington, and Port Townsend, Washington. It doesn't seem like it's part of the town identity to not have any, you know, larger businesses in their national business. It's just like the ones they have seem to be working. They've got a, you know, I'm going to on tomorrow go interview the guy that runs the local pharmacy, which I believe is a family business that they've just been there doing the pharmacy for a long time. And it's like they don't need a Rite Aid. You know, they got one. Mm-hmm. And I found that very charming, actually. And it seems like it's kind of working. I will say this. I walked into I got there a little before the camera crew, and I was starving. And I walked into the a local restaurant / tavern, and I had my mask on, which, again, was made me a unique character in this scenario.
Really?
There wasn't that many people in there, but it didn't strike me as a room full of people who were heavy duty into mask enforcement. Let me try to put it that way. And I went up and I was looking at the menu. There are these times when I just, like I said, I've actually been enjoying being in the city, but there are also times when I show up somewhere that's not a major American city and I realize that I very much stick out. Like I look very, I guess you could say, big city, citified. I don't know. It's just, do you ever have those moments in your life where you're just like, oh, I am not. And by the way, as a straight white male, every space is open to me. So it's like, you know, many of our listeners can relate to feeling kind of not exactly fitting in a much more regular and dangerous way, obviously. But I walk in and like I'm wearing like a collared shirt because I'm going to do a TV shoot and I'm all like my hair is all combed and I got this mask on. And I'm trying to look for something on the menu that doesn't have meat in it that I can eat. And so there's like a salad, you know. So I order the salad, like hold the meat, hold the chicken or whatever. And the woman serving me is perfectly nice, but she says, okay. And she brings the salad over and I'm kind of take like three bites of the salad. And again, nobody's doing or saying anything to me that makes me feel unwelcomed. I just am very much in my own head about how much I don't kind of seem like everybody else in there. And then I look up and there's this huge sign. It's like what it was like. It's like a fake, I don't know what you'd call it, fake road sign or something that has this written on it. It says, alcohol, because no good story ever started with, I'll have a salad.
While you're trying to pick around the menu.
Well, I'm eating a salad. No, I'd already ordered it. I literally walked in, standing, and 3 feet from me was a sign that says, no good story ever started with, I'll have the salad. Mm-hmm. And I literally walked in my little my little television making outfit and hair coif and said, I'll have the salad, please. Mm-hmm. And then retired to the farthest part of the restaurant I could go to because no one was wearing a mask and I didn't want to get coughed on. I'm just sitting at the back corner eating my salad by myself.
How was the salad?
It was serviceable.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know. Sometimes I'm really in the mood for a down-market salad. I mean, that's a true statement. Like, there are particularly at, like, a certain kind of pizza place. I think mm-hmm. we've even talked about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, with the olives.
There's a kind of... Yeah, like mozzarella cheese, usually. For some reason, one of the places that Carrie and I will go, it comes with some crackers, like, in a package on the side, mm-hmm. I guess, in case you want to crumble crackers over your salad. I never use that, but... there's a certain kind of down-market salad that actually I crave sometimes, even though I think we should really remove the word salad from the title because you're just eating a pile, if you're me, of ranch dressing and mozzarella cheese and black olives and then some water that has been reformulated into a lettuce, but it's still more water than anything.
It's like a deconstructed lettuce wedge, essentially. Because isn't that something, too, that you can order just like a wedge of a head of lettuce and dip it into your... What is it, ranch or blue cheese? I don't know the difference. I don't live in that world.
That's called a wedge salad.
There you go.
I actually love those. Mm. And that usually will have a lot of bacon crumbles going on. But yeah, it's just a big, it's like a quarter of a thing of lettuce with a whole, but even that too, I mean, that's so delicious. But let's, we are listeners and podcasters of honor. Lies do not become us. Like, let's not call that a salad.
Mm-hmm.
That is water that is being held together by the cellulose of of this lettuce and then a pile of blue cheese dressing and a pile of bacon. And it is exquisite to eat, but it is not health food.
Well, you got me thinking about Subway now. Like, I think Subway is one of those things that's also kind of divisive, right? Like, people... really love it or hate it. Am I
right
saying about
divisive
that?
Might be divisive.
Oh, is that not a word, divisive?
No, it is, but I'm saying I don't know if it's divisive or divisive. I bet you divisive is correct. I think you're actually saying it right. I think I've been saying divisive.
Oh, that's
But I think divisive is correct.
That up. That's interesting. But anyway, maybe I'm overstating it. Maybe I'm just trying to do some good old-fashioned hot talk radio here. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that, like, some people you say Subway and they're like, oh, I hate the smell. I hate that place. Like, there's something so kind of, I think, cheap and plasticky about it. I've never been in that camp. Like, I will really enjoy a Subway sandwich from time to time. Usually, since you asked, I'll tell you, I either get the spicy Italian or the BMT. This is another divisive move in our house. I will get honey mustard on that. Genevieve thinks honey mustard on a Italian sandwich like that is not the way to go.
Oh,
I know this because
she's
one time,
right.
I chose the mustard for her one time on a Subway sandwich, and it turns out that's a taste only this guy loves, honey mustard on a sandwich like that. But on the Italian bread, and like if I'm passing one of those stores and that bread smell is being pumped out onto the sidewalk, it works for me.
Yeah, this definitely, the bread smell is divisive, I think. It either is one of the best smells you can smell or the worst.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, isn't that a thing with, what is it?
Ooh, cilantro?
Yeah, cilantro tastes like soap to some people, depending on their biochemical makeup. I get a craving for Subway every once in a while. This is free shout out to our sponsor DoorDash, but I DoorDashed a Veggie Delight sandwich from Subway the other day. I was just in a weird mood,
mm-hmm.
and like again, peace and love to Subway and all the hardworking people at Subway. But like, there was something for me about having a sub sandwich from Subway brought to me.
Mm-hmm.
By someone that felt a little, it's like having someone deliver napkins from Wendy's to your house. Can you go pull like 5 napkins out of the thing and then bring them over? Like, it's,
you did get a foot long though, right? You're not a half a sandwich guy, are you? No way.
Here's what I did. I did 2 6-inches and I did them differently.
Ooh,
one was the Veggie Delight.
Okay.
And that's just like all the veggies they make. And then the other one, they sell like a veggie, not a patty, like it's not burger-esque, but it's sort of like a veggie loaf, I guess you could call it.
I can picture it. Almost like Morningstar-ish, right? Only it's not the shape of a hamburger, it's longer.
Yeah, but it's not, again, it's in, yes, but it is in no way trying to replicate the taste of any kind of meat product.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hash brown you'd get at McDonald's, but instead of being delicious oil-soaked potatoes. By the way, I know the guy who helped design the McDonald's hash brown in terms of the potatoes that went into it. He's a longtime LiveWire listener and supporter. He and his wife live in Scappoose, Oregon. They're wonderful. And that's one of the coolest dazzling deets in anyone's life that I know. Helped design the McDonald's hash brown.
Wow.
But anyway, it's like that. But anyway, so I was sitting there. I think I was trying to justify having this food brought to me instead of going down the hill and getting it. So I kind of made it like, well, I'm going to do a little food science research here. And so I had them make one, like I said, with just the veggies, and one with the veggie patty product. And just the veggies was the clear winner, 100%. You want to talk about taking this to the most boring possible place. I took one bite of the one that had the veggie stuff in it, the veggie loaf, and I was like, ooh, I don't like this. But the problem was all of the fixins that I enjoyed, the mayo, the mustard, all the condiments had fused to the veggie loaf.
Mm-hmm. Because, so in other words, you were thinking, I'll remove the loaf and just eat the rest of the stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, and the cheese, like, they had melted it on there. I mean, I asked them to melt it. It's one of the things you can do, thanks to DoorDash. But every time I say DoorDash, I think of Jordash, like Jordash jeans.
Can you get Jordash via DoorDash?
Man, I'll tell you what. When I get back to Bellingham, I'm going to look into that. But anyway, yeah, I had them melt it. So the cheese had fused to the veggie loaf, and then it had trapped all of the other stuff that I wanted to have. So when I took the veggie loaf out, I had a very, very boring sandwich that was just like four or five pieces of green pepper. And I still ate it because I'm incapable of leaving food alone if it's anywhere near me.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if I'd like that veggie patty, whatever it was, the veggie loaf.
Maybe. I mean, again, follow your heart and follow your taste buds. The other thing I've been doing is I have been in a weird, like, ordering sandwiches phase. And I've got this Jimmy John's thing really dialed in now. They are not a sponsor, as far as I understand. And I believe that the owner of the company is pretty terrible. But on the other hand, I do like their sandwiches, and I ordered one the other day from them, and I just thought I was ordering the footlong. I swear to God, Andrew, it was like 2 feet long. Mm. Like, it must have been like a borderline party sub or something. Ate the entire thing. I ate 2 feet of sandwich.
Well, that sounds great. You know, that reminds me.
I can't figure out why I'm putting on weight.
While we're just doing this, I saw a commercial for Subway the other day, and it irritated me a little bit, and I don't know why. I'll just lay it out here. The whole premise of this commercial...
They brought Jared back?
And I only saw it once, and it was Jared. He was in prison.
That'd be why.
Mm-hmm. They said... The whole premise is, like, I think it's a bunch of... I only saw this once, so forgive me. But I think it's a bunch of people reminiscing about the footlong... $5 footlongs was the branding, right? $5 footlongs at Subway. And they set up the commercial with people reminiscing about how they missed those days and you could never have it today. But then, of course, the turn is that Subway says, no way, we are bringing it back. It's $5 footlongs. They're back at Subway. But then it's revealed that you have to buy two of them for them to be $5 each. So I felt a little betrayed by the reveal there, because I don't believe you had to buy two for them to be $5 back in the day. I could be wrong about that. I mean, listen, it's economics. I don't even know what I'm complaining about. I probably never bought that particular deal before anyway. It just seemed disingenuous.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I must have had one of those $5 footlongs. That song, you have to give them credit. That stupid, stupid song is very effective.
I don't know. I'm sure once I hear it.
Don't make me sing it.
Okay, well, you sing it while I look it up.
It's like $5 foot long.
Is it
it's
sexy like sounds, that? You're doing it kind of sexy.
I mean, I add a little sex appeal to everything
to
I sing
everything,
on this show.
Right.
But
say thanks for making Subway footlongs.
This is a commercial from back in the day.
I promise you that is some indie band, right? I mean, doesn't that sound like...
That sounds to me like them imitating some indie band that was... I would be super surprised if that was anybody.
It was Of Montreal that does the Outback.
Yeah. Let's go Outback tonight.
The Outback commercials.
Yeah.
Anyway, I agree with you, though. That if you're saying $5 footlong, I shouldn't have to buy... There shouldn't be a minimum number of footlongs I buy to get the $5.
Yeah. Yeah. I got some terrible takeout food yesterday, by the way. I was in the mood for a gyro, and there's this place called Mr. Gyro that isn't far from us, and they deliver, and it's been some of the best quarantine food that we've had delivered to our house. And yesterday I had a craving for that, but it was a little bit too late. It was like 9:30 at night. So I ordered from some place that has, like, when you look at the menu at first, you're excited. You're like, you have every kind of takeout food I want. It was like a it was like a pizza. It's like one of the kind of Greek pizza places, which, you know, I love that style of food. But they have every, you can get gyros, you can get pizzas, you can get whatever, anything with feta cheese on it. Hold the feta for me, please. And boy, was it. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but I will say that we've talked about it on the show before. It's a small local chain, and it was a terrible gyro, man. It almost tasted a little bit like a dish rag, I think. I've never tasted a dish rag, but it didn't have the flavors I was particularly looking for last night.
Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, speaking of food, we'll talk about the great I was going to say the great peanut migration, but the problem is they're not migrating. They're just sitting in cold storage somewhere. And we'll talk about portable urinals coming up in a moment on TBTL.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Our top story coming from Fast Company, Mark Wilson writing. According to Cranes, which is another magazine or another newspaper publication, so this is Fast Company referencing something that was actually in Cranes, the Amazon search rank for the Travel John disposable urine bag has grown 5 times between May and June as a surge of families plan to take road trips while avoiding public bathrooms during the COVID-19 pandemic. The company says it's experiencing a drastic increase in product demand. As of the writing of this article, Travel Johns were still available through Amazon, through various third-party sellers, selling at about $17 for a six-pack. But basically, this company, they've sold out of this thing from the actual company. Now you can buy it from other people who've bought it and are going to sell it at a markup. But basically, it's a plastic funnel attached to a paper bag. The paper bag is filled with crystals. You press the funnel to your body to urinate into the bag. The crystals absorb the liquid, turning it into a gel that contains the liquid and the smell. You can throw the bag into the trash. The part that of this story that I found somewhat troubling is, if you don't fill the bag all up, it is, you can continue to use it. This is not a single-use item.
Oh, really? I read this whole article. I didn't get that impression. Did I miss something? Because I did read the one person, and I'm sure you'll get to it. It's a great dazzling detail about the private investigator who uses these. But
oh, yeah.
That's wonderful. And she even mentions, like, make sure that, you know, they can hold a lot, but they also can overflow. So just be mindful of that as you're using them. I didn't realize, though, that you could, like, fill it half up, throw it under the seat, and then use it again.
I don't know if you'd want to throw it, but I did read, I might not have been this, I might have actually linked back to the Cranes article at some point. I read somewhere, because it jumped out at me,
that
the idea that it's not necessarily single use. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't see myself using this twice. I'm going to go ahead and just say once, you know, if I use it once, that's enough. But you're right, there was this great review on Amazon from a person who said, I'm a female private investigator. This means I have to sit in my car for hours. When men are private investigators, they can just use a bottle. I don't want to have to leave the scene I'm investigating because I'm a girl. These Travel Johns are amazing. I tried something else before that and didn't work at all. With Travel Johns, I don't even have to get out of the front seat of my car. It's kind of gross to discuss, but these work and they do not leak. Now, here's the question. Do you think that's a plant from the Travel John company? Do you think that's a real person?
That's interesting because it's so perfect, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of like, although, who knows, because this is the same company apparently that has a Travel Jane that's the exact same product but pink.
Yeah. And by the way, did you already say this? Yeah, like not only is the Travel Jane pink, there's no structural difference in it. Like they're both constructed the same way and they're like they say, I guess, unisex. Either anybody can use it. So the only thing that sets it apart is that it's pink.
Now, okay, we are, as is often the case during these times, this I don't want to say unreasonable times. It sounds like I'm being dismissive. It's not unreasonable. It's highly reasonable that we are, as a society, questioning a lot of stuff. And as is commonly the case, we're the last people that should be talking about this, Andrew. So let's dive in. If I understand, I mean, I think I fully understand why making things that are quote unquote for girls pink. I think I understand why that is not great for our society. On the other hand, is it offensive for them to make a product for if somebody wanted to buy it, like if there was a person who was a woman and she thought it was adorable that this is the Travel Jane and it's pink, is it a bad thing? I'm actually genuinely asking, in your opinion, is that a bad thing that exists?
Well, I do know, and I think you know this too, and there's no evidence that this is the case now, but generally speaking, one of the most irritating things about the kind of pink washing thing is they will often charge more for the pink products with the girl's name, even though it's exactly the same. Like there's very famous photos of people taking, you know, I don't know, shots in a CVS of like a male grooming kit versus a female grooming kit, but it all has the same stuff. It's just like nail trimmers and a comb or whatever, and one is pink and $2 more, you know? And so that was always one concern. There's no indication that I've read that that's what's going on here. I do think if you want to create different colors of your product and just put them all out there and sell them, and people who like pink, no matter whether or not their name is John or Jane, can buy it, that's one thing. I think changing the name of it to a feminine name does reinforce this weird, unnecessary dichotomy in our culture.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. I also think, as Mark Wilson writes in this Fast Company piece, with the popularity of this thing, and people road tripping. A lot of people are not flying because of COVID, obviously. You just look forward to rest stop garbage cans just being full of like gelatinous bags of pee.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. As soon as I started reading this, I was like, my God, I've got to bring my garbage cans in the moment the trash department empties them, because like I don't want to have your dog poo in my garbage can as I'm wheeling it back to the house. I sure as hell don't want your gelatinized pee.
Yeah, all politics is local for you. This immediately went to garbage anxiety.
It really did. I'm already thinking about putting locks on all of my cans. I'm also a little bit heated right now because my podcast partner on Spotless, Hannah Brooks Olson, whom I love to death, we got into our first disagreement on the show this week, and it was because she has a dog and is a dog walker and has some what I think to be how can I put this? She justifies through like something about her being a renter and paying taxes and subsidizing the garbage cans that we all have out on the curb. So therefore, she has a right to throw her dog poop into people's garbage cans because she subsidizes them, which is one of those arguments that sounds like it's a little specious to me. I think that everybody should mind their own business, but when I say mind their own business, I mean throw away their dog's business in their own trash compactors or trash bins. But anyway, it's top of mind for me this morning. I'm a little on edge.
Yeah, I don't want to like have a sort of like proxy argument with HBO, but I would agree. Well, this has come up on the show before. These are my personal morals on this. If a garbage can is out at the curb and it's full of garbage, so it is about to be picked up, and you have a bag of dog poop from your dog, I think it's reasonable to place it in that garbage can because it's the people who own that garbage can are not going to interact with it with the dog poop in it. It's going to get dumped and then go back. if the garbage can is empty, I think that is an act of aggression because now they have to live in some capacity with your dog's poop for a minimum of a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I think that you and I kind of got to that through our various, I mean, this is, comes up a lot on the show, but I think that you and I kind of arrived at that. There was probably a time when seeing somebody use my garbage can at all would have chafed me, even if it was waiting for the garbage collector to come. Now, in my case, I also have the anxiety of, will the collector come this week or not? Will I be living with a full garbage can and your dog's poo? That's also a problem. But I generally have come around, and I agree with you. Like, if that's the rule that society can follow, I'm all on board for that. Hey, I'm a team player. Nobody ever said otherwise. But, yeah, I don't want to be rolling your dog's poo or your bag of gelatinous pee back to the house, as I said before.
Well, right, because, yeah, like, honestly, there are weeks where if, you know, Rudy's been going a lot or whatever, like, and I'm putting a bunch of – and I know now, thanks to the listeners, not to put the bags in, you know, the – I thought that they I could put them in the yard waste thing. But I know I put them in the garbage, but, like, it's gross. Like, honestly, like, our garbage can will be kind of gross. It has a bunch – and even though I've tied everything up tidily so you can still smell it, it's unpleasant for me to deal with my own dog's poop in that garbage can, let alone making someone else deal with my own dog's poop or me having to deal with someone else's.
I'm going to change the conversation here, like, really drastically, like, really, totally new topic. But it's just something just flashed in front of my eyes here on my computer screen. I got to talk to you about it. You're not on Slack very much, are you, Luke?
No, I kind of I think I'm going to go out and on a limb and say I think I don't like Slack.
Okay. Well, I would still encourage our listeners to check out the Slack community because
no,
it
it's
is
active.
It's great active and
for
it's
TBTL.
Fun. And if you want to join it, just go to tbtl.net and there will be a, on the contact us page, there will be a little Slack symbol and you can get the invite or just email me, whatever. I'll help you out. That's not my point. I'm not trying to do a backwards plug here. Let me explain something about how Slack works for those who are unfamiliar. You have kind of a general room, let's just call it like a chat room where everybody can just talk about whatever. And then people can create all these little micro communities within it, and you can decide whether or not you want to join those other communities. So for the sake of TBTL, we have the general room, but then we have like a dream catcher chat room where people talk about their dreams and dream related stuff. Pod pets is a very popular one, right? People posting photos of their pets, etc. Music for your weekend. All these things that you can opt in or opt out of. Here is my, and I am also on Slack for work, something that I'm much more engaged with than I used to be. Here's my thing about Slack that I hate, and I wish you could turn this off, and maybe you can. When you decide that you want to leave, like permanently, like kind of unsubscribe from one of these chat rooms, for lack of a better word, channels maybe is what the kids call it, a little message goes out to the whole group that somebody decided to leave that group. And there is a group on the Sten Slack page called Hot Dog, where people will post like any kind of hot dog related content, right? And inevitably, mm-hmm. I will always see like, okay, I'm even looking at this here. This happened last week. Kate at 8:20 a.m. Kate joined Hot Dog along with Kelly. So two people decided to check out this thing. But then I just got a notification that Wendy in Cleveland, our friend Wendy, left Hot Dog. And it always hurts my feelings. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't even have to be a group that I'm a part of. I'm talking about even in work groups. I get this ping or this pang. It's either a ping or a pang. I feel something that makes me sad.
Pinging or panging?
I don't know. I just said my name is Andrew. Like, it always makes me feel a little, I don't know if forlorn is the right word, but it just gives me a feeling of sadness for everybody in the group that the other person decided to leave it. Why does that have to be public? Why do I have to know that Wendy is abandoning us in the hot dog group?
I'm sure that that is something you can turn off. I also understand why people, if I understand Slack, my guess would be people are leaving these groups because they're getting pinged and panged related to the group,
yeah.
Right? So like if they are in that sort of micro community, then every time there's conversation in that micro community, unless they're managing their alerts really carefully, they're getting – and it probably becomes overwhelming. It's just a bunch of notifications, and then at some point they're like, oh, you know what? I don't need all of these notifications. I will then quietly step away from this group, right? That's probably what's going on.
Yeah, maybe that's true. You know, because I'm like Slack for me is I keep it pretty much on my computer. I don't use it on my phone much. So I don't get a lot of push notifications for Slack. So maybe that is true. If you have it on your phone and you're more of a power user than I am, or if you have it set up differently, maybe you're getting pinged all the time and panged. And so, again, like I'm not actually even trying to call out Wendy here, although I clearly am. Like, that's fine. Like, you're not into getting the notifications for hot dog related stuff. Like the last conversation in there was about how people are experimenting with spiral cutting their hot dogs before cooking them. I didn't weigh in on this because I just think that like that's misunderstanding the beauty of a hot dog, which is the way it snaps when you bite into it, and you're losing all of that before you cook it. And obviously I'm right about this, but I don't want to make everybody else in the group feel bad about it, so I'm just going to stay out of it. But I understand Wendy probably read that conversation. She's like me. She's in Cleveland. She knows how hot dogs are supposed to be eaten. And she's probably like, this isn't the group for me anymore. And so that's absolutely fine. But just seeing that Wendy left, I'm kind of like, oh, what does that say about me that I'm still here?
I think you need to go into your notifications, and I think that is fixable for you, so that just don't notify me when people leave these Slack groups. I want
to... Well, it wouldn't... to be clear, it's not me. It would have to be like some sort of setting, and I don't know if it is changeable, because in the two... I don't know. I don't think it is changeable, but maybe it is. But like everybody will see it. Like if you go into the channel, it's like a public thing.
I want to clarify my statement about Slack saying I think I don't like it. I love that the TBTL Slack community is so active, and I would or so slacktive, as maybe I shouldn't have said. But to me, that's fun because TBTL is a fun place, and it's not work for the listeners. It's a fun place to kind of hang out with other people and have conversations and post things. I think that's great. That's a great use of Slack. What I'm less in love with is, I've said this on the show before, but like we have a Slack for Livewire for the radio show, and I love everybody who works on that show. I genuinely do, and I love making that radio show, but I don't want to be in a rolling conversation 18 hours a day about it. I want to, like, that's why I like email, because I like getting an email that says these are the things we need to do, and then hopefully in a perfect world I'll do those things. And then I can be on to my next thing, or I can go relax or whatever. There's something about the never-endingness of Slack in a professional context that makes me feel kind of anxious.
It's been really hard for me to get used to making sure that I'm checking Slack. Like, Slack existed for a long time since we've been at American Public Media, and I never even had it downloaded. I had no interest in it. And also, like, we were introduced to all these different communication systems when we were new to APM. I mean, you have work email, which you and I have discussed. Like, we already had our email systems, our kind of personal email systems that tied into a bunch of different work we were doing, especially you. Then, like, how much are we going to be checking this new work email? And they make it impossible to have everything forwarded. And then there was something called Wave, which was some sort of internal bulletin board thing. Then there was something called Slack. I didn't know the difference between those for a long time. And then there are several others as well. And it felt overwhelming. And also, I just didn't have to be part of those conversations, because as long as we posted a show every day, we were good, right? But then as time went on, you know, I got onto Slack, I think first through TBTL, and then I was like, okay, I'll maybe start participating more in this APM Slack thing. And then once people see that you're on Slack, or maybe even not, like, I guess I didn't realize that it is the culture. Like, in the same way, an older person who's, what am I, 43? A 43-year-old maybe in 1998 thought that this idea of email was a little extraneous or unnecessary. Like, you can get me. Pick up the phone if you want to get a hold of me, right? I feel like it's just like an age thing. People just expect you to be seeing your Slacks all the time. Boy, that sounded funny. But I would go in, I'd be like, oh, somebody needed something from me like 3 days ago, and they Slacked me about it. And then I'll email them about it, and I feel like I'm pulling out a typewriter to email them about something. And so I tried for a long time to just subtly make it clear that if you need to reach me for work-related purposes, text me, email me, that's fine. But Slack is just a weird little place that I dip in and out of. But I have not been able to kind of hold the line on that. I am now like realizing that I need to keep an eye on this shit. And I think that gets into a little bit what you're talking about, like this somewhat it doesn't quite bother me as much, but I also don't have as much going on. But I understand what you're saying about it kind of seeming like a spout that you can never turn off or kind of manage. Like an email, you can get it, you can see it, it sits in your inbox. I'll get to that later. You can get a sense of whether or not it needs to be responded. With Slack, you just open it up and you have like 15 of these little red dots, and it's hard to tell what's important and what's not.
And of course, the thing for me is, I think, like, I don't like having to, I don't like feeling like, oh, I've got to respond to somebody at 8 o'clock at night when I'm trying to just like relax and watch TV. But if I send out a message professionally that I think is of any importance and someone doesn't respond to me at 8 p.m. at night, I'm thinking, do they even take their job seriously?
That's funny. Do you, like, even via email? Because I think that's kind of the beauty of email. In email especially, you're kind of like, well, I'm sending this out at night. I'm expecting the person when they log on, which I know even that's not true because people get emails on their phones, obviously. But
right.
I feel like there's less expectation with email. Like, I'm sending you this thing because I needed to compose something. You get back to me at when it's appropriate to get back to me. Whereas a Slack thing, it's like a conversation. It's like, hey, you up? Here are some documents to sign.
No, you're right. I mean, I think if I send an email and it's after hours, I don't actually expect the person to respond, but I'm sure there's a lot of hypocrisy around how quickly I expect other people to get back to some question I have versus how long it takes me to respond to people with their valid questions. I do think, though, we can all agree we're all reading our emails all the time. Out of office, in office, after hours. Like we're playing this game, and maybe there's a few very disciplined listeners out there that literally, like, you know, power down their computer at the end of their workday, and then they literally don't think about it, or then they turn their computer on in the morning, and now they go back in and find out, you know, what happened in the interim. But most of us are actually getting all of the emails. But what we do is we throw up these little roadblocks of, I'm on vacation, I'm out of office, if you need, get in touch with this person. But we're just sitting by the pool looking at our emails still.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Yes. I think, well, I don't know. If somebody takes a – because I think, again, this is the difference between the way you and me to a lesser degree, but especially you use email versus other people. Like, I have a Gmail account and I have an APM account. I don't really use that APM account, but again, even that's slipping a little bit because I really tried to get all my colleagues just to use my single Gmail account because there was a time where I couldn't see work email on my phone for complicated reasons. But for other people, I think it might be, hey, I have my Gmail account. If my friends want to reach me, that's fine. But I also have this APM account or whatever it is, my sales job account or whatever it is. And I can just like turn notifications off that on my phone because I'm going to be literally on vacation for a week. I think people can step away from their work-related emails if they have less kind of integration between work and life, you know?
Yeah, and I think there – I agree with you, and I also think there are a lot of people who are just better at that. I think the weirdness of our job, or at least – yeah, I think the weirdness of our job and the jobs that I have is that they're an extension of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a weird way. It's like I don't sell a widget that then I go – and nothing against – I have nothing against selling widgets. But it is all kind of folded together in this weird way. There's like no clear boundaries, and so – and also, I think I get a lot of my self-esteem out of my work stuff. So I'm alternately – at the same time, I'm both completely derelict of duty when it comes to my – like I don't ever check my APM email. I don't ever – I think I might have a LiveWire email. I don't know how to get into the Slack of any – like I don't know how to get into the – like if there's an APM Slack, I'm not really on it, obviously. So on the one hand, I have no problem just ignoring all of it. But then on the other hand, it's like I will be – like I've never not checked my email for more than 10 hours. Like in my – you know, my personal email, which is where a lot of my actual work stuff ends up passing through. I'm not good at unplugging from that. I think because I just am too afraid that something is going to be like – someone's going to be like, hey, do you want to come – do you want to come host the Oscars? And I'm going to like not look at my email. And they're like, fine, we'll use Steve Martin.
That's how I lost some gigs. That's how I ended up not writing Shop Girl and turning it into a movie. funny story about that. You know what I think maybe, and I feel like I'm extending this conversation that maybe is spiraling definitely to uninteresting territory, but the difference might be like the email account that you have for listener emails, right? Like you're not getting pinged on your phone constantly for that. That's a separate account. That's GoDaddy. And chances are, I'm guessing, we've never talked about this private moment of your life, but my guess is that when you feel like you have the time, you'll sit down with your computer from time to time and fire up the old GoDaddy email and see what's awaiting you in there. And probably other people have maybe work emails with that kind of relationship, if they can.
Yeah. I think we can all agree, though, Andrew, I am absolutely the worst at maintaining. I'm amazed that this sounds like a humble brag, or I don't know. I'm probably jinxing something, but I am incredibly lucky that the people we work with at APM are as understanding as they are about the fact that I don't interact with any of the systems of the company until forced to, including but not limited to our cyber security training that we have to do within the next 5 days, or all hell will break loose. It's like, I guess my point is, if I were managing me, I would have fired me a long time ago. I would just be like, bro, learn how to use your, you work here, you draw a paycheck from this place, learn how to use the email here. But no, everyone is very, they cater to my annoying ways. And here I am, still doing this 3,192 episodes in, even though I am the worst at checking that stuff.
Okay, let me just say one thing on this, because I was so angry yesterday I wanted to tweet this out. But I was like, I just don't need to draw fire on this. It's just whiny. It's whatever. So I'm going to bury this here about an hour and 1 minute into this show. But
smart.
I started the security training yesterday, and of course, any listener who's listened to the show more than two episodes know how you and I feel about this. Like, we were a little bit put off when we had to take the training once. It's an online training that takes 90 minutes, and you can't really cheat your way through it by skipping. And now it has become a yearly thing. And one of my big complaints is that nothing is changing on it. They're just making us take this thing and probably paying a lot of money to some company, as you've pointed out, to make us take the same cybersecurity over and over and over again, where so many of the questions are about how important cybersecurity training is. It's like I cannot think of another product that you buy and then it spends so much time selling itself. Anyway, I always say that I'll bet you it's the same exact thing from year to year. I know it's the same thing because I just took Section 1 yesterday, and one of the first questions they ask after you do, like, you know, after you click through all the training slides is this true or false question, which I remember because I believe I tweet this out every goddamn year. Do cyber criminals only target large organizations since they have found the most sensitive data to steal? True,
oh, yeah,
or false?
100% true.
It's not a true or false question. Do you not know how true or false works? That's a yes or no question. Do cyber criminals only target large organizations since they have the most sensitive data to steal? True or false? No. Yes or no, MF-er? Yes or no?
I'm just leaving that in the clear because I want that to be some of your new intro tape. Yeah. Yes or no, MF-er? I like this new tough side of Andrew.
It just irritated me so much. It's so lazy, and it's such a red flag that this is the same crap we went through last year.
So it is the same thing.
I mean, yes, I remember that exact. I mean, I think if you go through my tweets, I went on a rant on Twitter about that last year.
Can you just submit your angry tweets as a completion of the course?
Yes. All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
After spending some time complaining about other people's sloppy work, let me slide into this Blursday segment where I'm sure I will stumble and bumble all day long. This is from Megan in Bellingham, who says, hey, Bellingham.
Oh,
I've heard of that place. I want to wish a happy 30th Blursday to my husband, Mark. He's currently on a road trip with his dad, visiting North Dakota and Nebraska so that he can hit all 50 states before he turns 30. Luckily, I loved him even when he had only visited 48. He makes me laugh every day. I'm proud to be his wife and TBTL daddy.
Ooh, come on now.
Will and Jay say happy birthday, Eric. We wanted all the tens to know that you're brilliant and one of the quickest wits we know. Enjoy some pumpkin pie. One slice for you, two slices for me, three slices for your mom. Shake booty. Happy Blursday, bruh. From Will and Jay.
It's a lot of slices for mom. I don't know what I'm going to police, you know, what people are eating, but I feel like three slices of pumpkin pie, that's going to be... that's going to be a tummy ache.
I was also going to say, this isn't really the pumpkin pie season, which, you know, Genevieve made a strawberry pie yesterday that I'm looking forward to having tonight. But you know what? I was making a joke about the spiraled hot dog before, and I feel guilty about it because I slipped into that character that I hate, which is like, you're eating your food wrong. There's only one way to enjoy a hot dog, man. I hate that guy, and I apologize to the listeners who were excited about spiraled hot dogs.
I love strawberries, and I like pie, fine. I enjoy it. But for some reason, strawberry pie doesn't sound good to me, but I like all the components. I don't know why I wouldn't. Like, I love blackberry pie. I bet you I would love a strawberry pie. I've just never had it.
I love berry pies. I'm not huge on desserts. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about dessert when I'm not eating it because I'm eating it all the time. No, but one of if I you know had to do a desert island pick or a deserted island pick, or a dessert island pick, I might pick
now
like
that's
some sort of
an island I could get into.
I would probably pick a berry pie like strawberry, but it has to have vanilla ice cream, which is what we don't have in the house right now, which is why I did not try the pie yesterday.
I mean, that's let's be honest. Pie is just a delivery vehicle for the scoop of ice cream.
That's what I think.
What really ties the room together.
That's what I think, yeah. Sheila in Ithaca. Lou, let me ask you, how would you describe Ithaca if you gave it like one funny adjective?
A dessert island of gorgeousness.
Exactly. Sheila in Ithaca.
On the bumper stickers.
Says, happy Blursday to my TBTL baby, Cindy. I really miss seeing you, and I look forward to the day when we can tuck into another fine alehouse meal together. Tell Jim I said, by the way of an imaginary radio show, to treat you all the bread pudding you can eat. Treat you to all the bread pudding you can eat. Love ya. That's from Sheila to Cindy.
Everybody's talking about food this Blursdays.
I know. And honestly, we didn't even get into the peanut story, but reading that peanut story today, like I love In the Shell peanuts so much. I added it, literally added it to my grocery list as I was reading that story. I'm going to go get some Subway, some ice cream, some peanuts.
Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow, by the way. When I did Wait in Virginia, some tens brought me some Virginia peanuts. And I drove that night from Richmond all the way back to D.C. because I had to do a cross-country flight early the next morning. Just cramming Virginia peanuts into my mouth while driving, trying to avoid the wildlife that was running across the freeway.
Did you have a cup that you were putting the shells in, or were you throwing them out the window? Because
no, they were shelled. So they were like they were not in a shell.
And they're already shelled.
In some kind of delicious, you know, spicy powder type thing. And I was like, I'll just have like a handful of these. And then I looked down and like half of the can was gone.
Yeah. Well, you know me, I always have that in Andy's snack drawer, which is what we call the glove compartment in the car. I always have some sort of mixed nuts in there. All right. Our friend Sarah in Boise. We once lived in her driveway. Mm-hmm. One fantastic 12-hour period. Sarah says, I'd like to wish my amazing friend Casey a very happy Blursday. Casey is unquestionably an essential worker for my soul.
Wow.
That's an album title, isn't it?
Yeah.
An essential worker for my soul. She's encouraging, thoughtful, loyal, and there is no one with which I'd rather spend a Friday morning. May your Blursday be filled with sunshine and cake. That's from Sarah to our friend Casey. Who is also, what do we say, mom, owner, roommate with the bulldog named Marge, whom I adore.
But by the way, another mention of cake. I feel like the Blursdays this week are conspiring to make me go down to like the Arco or whatever's open around here and buy their finest like canned cake or whatever they have. Something from the snack aisle. I'm like feeling weirdly snacky right now.
I know. I'm getting so hungry for real. Here's one. Happy Blur's Day to Kelsey Clarissa, my best sister and the only 10 I know in real life. I'm so glad that we live in the same town so we can hang out and grow even closer over our shared love of our favorite co-bros. Thanks for all the support and encouragement you give me. Much love from your big sis, Lindsay Genevieve. Enjoy some birthday spam.
Again,
I added
with
the spam
food.
Thing.
Okay.
Just joshing ya. Happy
Blursday goofing.
Just a little Blursday goofing. Happy Blursday shout out.
Spam. Three payments.
Happy Blursday shout out to Cheryl and Corvallis's 5, Julian. What a great kid he is. Love you, buddy. From Miss Linda.
This was the kid that was like doing moss removal to get money to donate to TBTL, right?
That is correct. That's right. I think we met him on the Zoom call, too. Dave, Carrie, and Gwenny and Stanwood say actual Uncle Craig has a birthday this week. Yay. It's been awesome having a 10 across the street since there's been a TBTL. That's it.
Aww.
From the Stanwood 10s.
I love them.
I don't know if we've talked about this before. This sounds like a beautiful place. This is from Spencer in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Have we talked about Two Harbors, Minnesota?
No, but it does sound like a new pornographer song.
Sort of does. Ironically, I looked it up. They have 3 harbors, but are named Two Harbors. I just wanted to say happy 7th Blursday to my 5, Henry. Again, this is from Spencer. TBTL, or as he calls it, the podcast. Sorry, Pesca. Mm-hmm. Is his preferred audio entertainment. He always requests that we listen whenever we get in the car. With no party this year due to the pandemic, I'm hoping that a shout-out from you guys can make his day a little bit more special. I even gave him the bell rings. That's from us and Spencer to you, Henry.
Happy Blur's Day, Henry.
Love the name Henry, by the way.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite stuffed animals are named Henry. Got Big Henry, got Little Henry. Jeremy says, happy Blur's Day to the only other 10 I know in real life, Levi. Levi is an amazing guy. By the way, Levi is also a friend of ours, IRL. Jeremy says, Levi is an amazing guy. He's super nice. He has an adorable little boy, and he's done so much for the local Seattle music scene over the past 10-plus years by creating a platform for bands to be heard through his compilation albums called Ball of Wax Audio Quarterly. So listeners can look that up. Ball of Wax Audio Quarterly. I didn't know about that aspect of it.
I did. I know all about Levi.
Now, listen, I actually would like to talk about this maybe on the show next week. I need to dig up these emails that Levi was sending me. There's a fascinating, it might even be another TBTL Mystery Solvers now that we solved our last mystery. Levi is looking for a very specific episode of TBTL that he knows exists because he was involved with it.
And of all of the various places that TBTL is archived across the web, official archives, non-official archives, my archives, this particular episode is missing. And there's a lot of reasons to think that it actually does exist and did happen, but we cannot find it. I want to share Levi's journey of trying to track this thing down with you guys next week. Anyway,
I blame Dave Pridemore 100%.
Oh, definitely. I blame Dave Ross. Happy Thursday, Levi. All right, and finally, Ken says, this goes out to all the tea lovers in the world, especially my son Dan, who is doing his part once again, making his old man proud. Happy Blursday, buddy.
Cute.
All
right, this is good. This is perfect timing because I've actually got to wrap this up because I am about to do – I'm working concurrently on various TV projects for CBS Sunday morning, and one of them is a story about hugging, but I'm actually doing that one virtually, so I have to zoom into a person who's an expert on how to safely hug. I need to put some clothes on, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you should do that before you virtually hug, or even
before
I
zoom in with these people. I'm gonna need to go and put some speaking of slacks, I need to put some slacks on. So
here's what we're going to go
about
out
penis
with
tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Yeah, if you don't mind, somebody sent in a new song by the band Doves. We usually go out with Words by Doves, but Will in Memphis says that they have a new song called Carousels. So I'm going to go out with this today in case you're curious what we're about to hear.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We are going to be right back here with more Imaginary Radio for you tomorrow. So please do join us for that. Until then, enjoy your Thursday. Stay safe. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all. Just the wrong side of the town. You just don't let go. Keep it cool. Seeing the reason the bitter. Tell me why are we living this life with feet tiptoed? I'm gonna take you down. Power out.